Welcome to the Here to Be Human podcast, a podcast created to hold space for authentic human conversation through the lens of the feminine. Here, we will dive deep into the realms of motherhood, birth, seasons of womanhood, and so much more. I am your host, Lucy. I hope you enjoy today's episode. Welcome to the Here to Be Human podcast. Today I am doing a solo episode predominantly around the topic of school, but it also weaves into so many other facets of my life. And I've been in this deep reflective state since having my last baby almost 2 years ago. And I just felt to share my reflections because I do feel like I'm on the precipice of completing a chapter and stepping into a new chapter, which is so exciting. And I've just had so many aha moments, and I just felt to share. My three big kids are away at the moment with their grandparents, and my littlest is napping, and I've just got this like unexpected spaciousness and time. So I thought this would be a really good time to record this episode and just share a bit of my story and a bit of my reflections, because it is crazy how life is just a cycle and we keep repeating cycles until we learn the lesson. Because I can see so much of these lessons I didn't get like many other times that I walked this labyrinth, and it's now become front and center and a lot more clear since having my own children. So I guess I'm just going to start. I'm going to try and not jump around the place and try and tell this story and share my reflections in a bit of a succinct way. But it does jump around the place a little bit, so just bear with me. I promise you it does make sense and all come together at some point. So I guess I will start at the birth of my fourth baby, or the conception rather. It was the catalyst for a lot of this unraveling and finding clarity in a lot of why I am the way that I am, and understanding so many things. I had to really choose to have this baby and back myself and really be in my body, and I couldn't outsource any of the responsibility. With my other babies, they were all really wanted, and I wanted to be a mum, and I knew I wanted to be a mum from such a young age. But it was a little bit like one foot in, one foot out. A bit of like, whoops, we're pregnant, even though I wanted to be pregnant, you know. But there was sort of, I was never consciously conceiving any of them. And I knew that I wanted to have this fourth baby, which in so many ways felt scary, because just like you feel, the more babies you have, the more judgment you feel from society. And I also was like, can I even hold four babies? But this little being really wanted to come, and it was like this feeling I couldn't deny that I would have deep regret if I didn't have him. He had come to me in dreams, and I felt him with me when I was pregnant with my first son. And then with my third baby, I thought it was going to be this baby, but then it was Violet. So it was this incompleteness. There was like, there was this baby that still wanted to come in, and time was passing and I was getting older and other kids were getting older, and it was sort of like this now or never time. So it really was, I couldn't kind of, for a while I was like, oh, or just see, like, if I accidentally fall pregnant, you know, if it's meant to be. And I just never fell pregnant accidentally. With the others, it was like any chance to conceive and there was a baby. This time it was like there was many, many chances to conceive and I never fell pregnant. So then he really made me do this work around like owning my choices, no matter what other people think. It also brought up a lot of stuff for me around like expectations from my own parents and judgment from my own parents. I don't know. I know my dad is one of those people who thinks we shouldn't overpopulate the earth, for example, but it also leads into so many other dynamics I have with him where I want his approval and I change the way I show up in the world so he will approve. And I don't think I had fully understood how much of an impact that had on me until choosing to have this baby. And it really highlighted like, whoa, am I like not gonna have a baby that I want because I'm worried about my dad not approving, you know? And so Finn, this little baby, really made me dig deep and do the work around consciously choosing this in my life and to have this fourth child. And it was really powerful, actually, because it obviously then it's always like you pull at a thread and then you realize, oh my God. So that was the beginning of like this big awakening for me and stopping outsourcing everything and stopping looking outside of myself for external validation. I could start to look inside of myself and just listen and know that that was the right decision for me. I didn't need anyone else's input. And I needed to not worry what other people thought. This then flowed forward, obviously, to his birth, where I birthed him alone. And it's something that I had sort of wanted, especially for my third birth. I wish I'd just been unobserved and alone for all of them. But I didn't feel capable. I didn't feel like I was allowed to. There was still that level of trying to keep everybody else feeling comfortable and not completely like stepping up and just backing my decision. So I finally did this with my fourth baby, and it was the most transformational experience of my life, probably ever. I can't imagine another experience that would trump this. It was just me listening to my inner knowing and my instincts and completely trusting that. And it felt amazing. And I've had the most amazing postpartum experience and feel so connected to him and myself, like never ever before. When he was born, I did feel like this big death. Like when we have a baby, the woman we were before dies and we are reborn with our baby into this new version of us as women and as mothers to now be a mother of this baby. And there was this time of like just feeling completely lost, like I didn't know like who I was, and that evoked a lot of anxiety in me, because this is a theme in my life that I've had where I feel like I don't know who I am, even though I do. But there's a little flicker inside of me that knows who I am, but I get so caught up and so lost in all of like the outside stuff and noise, because I think part of it is I'm so sensitive. But I started to pull at that thread and really kind of understood it a little bit more deeply, which I will go into soon. I was like completely burnt to the ground. I was decimated, and I had really been calling in like change. Like during his pregnancy, I was like ready for radical change in my life. I wanted to really step up to the plate and like stop living in this just this default mode. Like I was just idling along in life. I didn't feel in my body. I didn't feel grounded. I didn't feel strong in my voice. I didn't feel strong in my decisions. I always felt wobbly. I always felt affected by everybody else. And I was so over it. I was like, why am I so affected and impacted by the world around me? And it's made me like cocoon away at times, because it feels like the only safe place for me. But then it's not healthy either, because I also crave community and being out in the world and connection. And in order to thrive in that environment for me, I need to be able to feel strong in myself and have those loving boundaries and have clarity on what I want and what I don't want. And otherwise I get so swept up. Back to before he was born, when I was growing him, and then the first maybe year of his life after I birthed my fourth baby, it was this time of like, yeah, absolute letting go, of everything that no longer served me. And I had asked for this, you know, I'd been calling in this change, and like now the universe was providing, and it was really confronting and uncomfortable at times. So many friendships fell away. I was forced to deal with a lot of like conflict, which usually I shy away from, and it scares me so much. To be assertive, and usually my default is to like fawn a little bit or be a bit more passive, because to step up to the plate and be assertive and strong in like your conviction and your voice, you obviously have to have complete clarity and strength and be grounded, and I struggled with those things. So it was this time of like learning those skills, and it was really uncomfortable. And and then this big letting go of like all of these things fell away, all these friendships fell away, and it was like, yeah, really hard, because I had just come out of another like time of letting go of midwifery, and that felt like such an identity crisis. And I'd let go of this big part of who I was to then have it happen again. But it was like the midwifery thing was just like surface level. It was like just the beginning. Now this was the nitty gritty real shit. And I just had to, there was only one way through, and I had to just move through it, or it was going to just keep repeating. And I was really ready now to face stuff and change. And there's so many things, like my relationship with my parents, needing to do a bit of cord cutting there, to become my own person in the world and have better, healthier relationships with them. I had so much stuff around money and success and being worthy and being, allowed to make different choices for myself than the people around me and my family. It was just, really like big time of facing these themes that were so plugged into my nervous system. Like I was so triggered by so many things and it would just make my nervous system so dysregulated. And it was understanding my nervous system as well and how if I don't tend to it, if I don't understand it, if I don't understand all of these big topics and themes and feel like I've got, I've got a hot, just have like moved through them and dealt with them, instead of shoving them down. So then they're constantly this trigger every time in my life, anything slightly to do with that thing, my nervous system completely goes bonkers. And then I spiral because I'm trying to shove something back down instead of just bringing it into the light and moving through it and integrating it. So it was this, it's been this really big time of like sifting through a lot of triggers and themes and investigating rather than trying to ignore. And it was during this time that I also was having a lot of struggling with our kids' school. It just like wasn't suiting us anymore for so many reasons, and we made the decision to pull them out and homeschool. And it's so interesting because my son was the same age as I was when I left one of my schools and I homeschooled for 3 months. It's also the same age that my daughter was as I was when I started to have a lot of issues at school. There was issues before this, but it was significant at this point. So it's like, again, it's like we're just going through these cycles over and over. And I think because I had claimed so much radical responsibility over other areas of my life, I couldn't any longer outsource this schooling experience for my children anymore and ignore what wasn't working. So we've been homeschooling nearly a year, and that's been a whole big thing in of itself because I haven't had the right support and community, and my partner has been really, really busy building a new business for our family. So it hasn't been ideal, but it has been this beautiful time of healing and connecting and really like bringing consciousness to the way that I view learning and development and the untangling this idealism that we have and this obsession that we have with peers being together all the time and kids having so many friends, and that's the be all and end all and the sign that they are thriving and happy. And before I pulled them out of school, I'd been reading Hold On To Your Kids by Gabor Mate, and there's another guy, I always forget his name. I'll link everything in the show notes. But it's such an epic book. It was like super heavy going, but I was adamant to get through it because so much that is in there was just resonating so deeply, like for my own children. But also I was like, oh my God, I now understand so much about my own schooling experience and how this is really molded and shaped who I am and caused so much dysfunction in my life. So essentially, it speaks about how important it is that we really foster the connection and the relationship with our children, because their brains are still developing until early 20s, and they need to be guided and feel safe, and they need intergenerational relationships and mentors. It's really unnatural for us to place children all of the same age in groups most of their life, day in and day out, and how this can cause issues because they then become attached. It's called peer attachment to one another, and they become obsessed with each other, and they need each other essentially to feel whole and to have meaning and to know what the right decisions are to make and how to be and how to show up in the world, instead of having a parent attachment who we have fully developed brains and life experience to help guide our children and give them advice, and how children then pivot and they detach from their parents and they attach to one another, and then this is just potentially causes a lot of disastrous scenarios. And this is where we see reckless behavior and teenagers needing to be together all the time and really hate on their parents or disrespect their parents and not have that beautiful relationship anymore. Like, they abandon that to then prioritize peer attachment. And it resonated a lot for me because of how I felt personally as a teenager, like completely lost and at sea, and like just needed to be liked and part of a group to affirm my existence and to tell me how to be, because I had no idea who I was anymore. But it also affirmed my own instincts that I needed to hold my kids closer even as they got older. But I had this feeling like I needed, like there was this expectation from society that you give them more independence. And obviously, some of that is appropriate, but it's like prioritizing that bond and that safety and that connection. But what we tend to do in society, in Western society, is we push children away at a certain age and say, you know, this is good for you, go and be independent, go and do X, Y, Z. We push them into group, like to be grouped off with other children their own age, even if at social gatherings it's like the parents have a parents table and the kids have the kids table, and sporting events, sporting, you know, extracurricular activities, obviously it makes the most sense for like the same age children to be like grouped together and playing sport and whatever. But it's just like it happens in every facet of our society and culture that you are just a kid in this age group with other children, and at school obviously that's the case, and there's not this diversity happening of experience and relationship across ages, which actually adds so much depth and meaning and gives children different experiences and the opportunity to respect, you know, their elders and learn from elders and know how to speak to different aged people. My son, for instance, just loves being around his uncles and aunties and grandparents, and it adds so much depth to his worldview. I can just see it. And what we're meant to be doing is living life day in and day out with, you know, with our aunties, uncles, grandparents, friends, like all different ages coming together and learning from one another, and our children having safe people to be guided by who have life experience and who have fully formed brains, basically. Anyway, it was this really beautiful affirming moment because I just felt like it was really wrong to be pushing my son kind of away. And I had always been very much attachment theory with parenting, like when they were little. And then it was like, yeah, I just felt confused. So then to have this like affirmation of the importance of prioritizing this parent-child bond and not prioritizing, it doesn't matter as much friendship. Like that's just the cherry on top. That's like an added extra. That's like, you know, but we really like, I know that we worry if our kids don't have BFFs and like heaps of friends, but it's, we shouldn't be that worried. We should be more concerned if we don't have a rich relationship with our children, because that's what matters. Friends come and go. Friends are fun. Friends are, you know, but it's like they shouldn't be their everything. So that then really gave me the extra like conviction to pull them out of school. And we've been now homeschooling, and it's also given me this amazing window into my own experience of school, which I'll go into now, because it really made me see how as a really sensitive child, going to school really negatively impacted me. And I have a lot of shame and sadness around my schooling experience, and it's meant that I haven't really wanted to like look into it or rehash it, or I have pushed it away. And there was a few experiences, situations, things that happened lately that once and for all really made me look at this part of my life and like sit in it and not feel worried, or like just so much emotion comes up for me, so it's really hard for me to sit in it. And it's crazy that my experience of school, like I'm still unraveling now as a 34-year-old woman, you know, and it's taken me this long to completely understand and dissect it and make sense of it and be able to kind of come back to my essence of who I am, because I feel like it really did derail so much in my life. So I went to quite a few schools over my schooling experience. It was mainly just because every school just didn't work for me. That in of itself wasn't traumatic or bad or negative. Like I always found that a positive thing, that my parents were supportive of helping me be happy. But in every situation, I felt really overwhelmed, I think, being so sensitive by everybody else's, all the other children in my class around me, and just felt like I needed to conform and be liked and copy everybody else around me. And I just completely abandoned myself. The last time I can remember like feeling really strong in myself was maybe when I was 5. And then I went to school when I was 6. And I also experienced like significant bullying as well. I actually don't even know why, but I seem to be, I think just because I was sensitive and the weakest link, I was targeted a lot over a lot of really significant times of my development and growth. And because I was continually being told I wasn't good enough, I wasn't likable, there was something wrong with me over and over, like that's the story that is in my, you know, I feel it down to my bones, like it's in my cellular DNA now, like it's so profound. And then it became a self-fulfilling prophecy, because like I just seriously believed that, and then I would change my behavior and my personality and everything to just try and fit in, and then I wasn't really myself, and I don't know. It was just like such a really hard, harrowing time for me. And when I was at primary school still, like I went to a Steiner school for the first 5 years, and it even happened there. So I mean, of course, it's going to happen. Like, you can never just judge a school based off its aesthetic, you know. But, like, even a school that's meant to be really nurturing and intentional, this dysfunction in the peer groups exists everywhere, you know. And my teacher at the time told my parents that it was my own karma and that in another lifetime I asked for this bullying. And, like, it's so ridiculous. So, yeah, I remember just, it was just such a horrible time. And I felt so much deep sadness. And then I went from a Steiner school to a public school for 2 years. And there were so many good things and so many bad things about that as well. I just felt like I had to instantly grow up so much because the gap was so big with just influence, I guess. Like, I wasn't exposed to, like, the media and pop culture and all this stuff. I was very, very just still a little kid and quite sheltered, I guess, in so many ways, like, because mum and dad just prioritised a different kind of upbringing. So it was really overwhelming for me to suddenly, like, find myself with all of these kids who were, like, referencing all of these things and music and dressed a certain way. And I felt like such, like, I just didn't fit in. I just felt like such an outsider. I was like, oh my God. And then I had to quickly, like, okay, how do I learn to be like these people? How do I fit in? Again, it was just like, just so lost, always looking outside of myself, trying to fit in with the, you know, attaching to my peers so that I could belong and have a sense of identity. And it's also that primal thing, right, of back in the day, you needed to be part of the herd, like part of the village, part of the whatever you want to call it, or you would be, like, not safe. So we have this primal urge to fit in. And this then kind of leads, I guess, into like hitting puberty and then getting breasts quite early and then being like noticed by boys and like not ready for that. Like, that felt a lot. And like my body wasn't my own anymore. I was objectified a lot. And I didn't understand it. I was still such a little kid. Like, it's just, yeah. But I had to grow up really quickly to keep safe. Like, it was a lot of this thing of like, oh, I need to just fit in and like just so I'm safe. And I never felt completely, yeah, part of anything. I don't know. It was just a full-time job trying to fit in. And yeah, and then I went to the public high school and then the bullying just, I was targeted again so badly and it just escalated so, so much. And I was just this like young girl, like on the threshold of like crossing over into being a teenager and being targeted so hardcore by older girls for no reason. Like, I still to this day have no idea. I don't even really want to go into it because it was like a lot. And really upsetting. But I also hold so much shame like around the bullying, and I just want to let that go now, and I want to be able to shed light all over that and be like, whoa, that was not like anything to do with me, you know. But it is crazy how we internalize stuff like this and think it's our fault and think there's something wrong with us, and especially when like you feel that you need to fit in and you need to be popular and you need to be liked in order to have, you know, self-worth and to be fitting in, and like that's the priority. And then to have people telling you all of those things are not true of you, and in fact you're actually worse off than, you know, it's so intense. So that was really big for me. And obviously this has impacted how I feel about myself and my sense of identity and my self-worth and being a really sensitive person. Again, it was like just so big. I ended up going to another school, which I was stayed at until I completed school, and it was heaps better, but obviously there was still so many issues for me. And yeah, that was just like my experience. And then I guess I ended school and I finished school, and I was out in the world and I was like, I have no idea who I am. How overwhelming to not feel like I have this strong sense of identity. And it's so funny because even my partner always says to me, wow, you always really want to feel safe, don't you? Like anything new, like in change, I really don't like change because I feel like the rug's being pulled out from under me and I don't like that feeling of not being safe. And I'm really realizing now, like, so many little things like that keep coming up for me, I can trace it right back to school. I can pinpoint so many little things that upset me, or themes in my life, or ways of being, or ways I abandoned myself, or, you know, like, to this story that I got fed and told at school. And it, because it was just every day for so many years of my development, it's really deeply impacted me. And I see my children now on this, have this strong sense of self and curiosity, and they feel so free in who they are and confident in who they are. And I do not want that snuffed out. I see so much of myself in my daughter and how easily influenced she is by people around her. And I want her to have friends and outside experiences outside of the family unit, because that's so important. But I think it's like prioritizing coming back to home and safety and talking about things and understanding why things feel the way they feel, and, you know, our feelings and emotions and outside influence, and then coming back to what our intuition and inner knowing says, and knowing that we can always listen to that and should listen to that. And you can always talk to your parents about things that are coming up for you, and to not have that connection and that place of safety severed. So I've now, like, yeah, I just prioritize that above all else. Cause I think if I had, like, not been disconnected from my essence and my sense of self, obviously it changes over the years, but it's like, yeah, your sense of self isn't a fixed thing. It's like, I think essence is the right word. It's like this essence of who you are and your connection to your inner knowing and intuition, and it changes and evolves as you grow, but you have this connection, this insight, you know, whereas I just didn't have that anymore. I had a little flickery flame that I would sometimes check in with or be influenced by, but I was bombarded so much by so many other things around me that it was hard to know, like, is that me, or is that where do I start and where does this end, and where does, you know, what do I listen to? And it's crazy that I've spent so much of my life just trying to get back to that knowing and my essence, and to feel in my body and to feel grounded and to feel clear, and to be able to use my voice and to not be afraid of my sensitivity. And this is also, again, like, this podcast is me reclaiming my sensitivity and my essence and my voice, and not feeling like it's a negative thing to be vulnerable. It's beautiful, and it creates an opportunity for connection with other people, something that I so deeply crave and love and we all need. That's really the meaning of life, and that's the thing that gives us quality of life, and people live longer when they are in community. So that's a little bit of my reflections of late, just really rehashing, like, a lot of my life and understanding how each each experience influenced the next, and following that thread and connecting the dots, and then understanding how, whoa, I like behave this way, or I'm triggered by that, or this is the theme because of this. And it's so liberating to be able to understand it and pour love all over it and then let it go, because it really has held me back in so many ways. And I've just been confused for so long, like, so yeah. Thank you for listening to my aha moments and my little rehash of life, and super excited to see where this next chapter that I can feel is oh so close to beginning takes me. And I really encourage you to, if you ever feel like, yeah, to do some introspection and some reflection. It's so healing, and you can connect dots and themes and follow things, and it does. It's so freeing. It's so freeing when you can finally understand why things are the way they are. And I don't know. Yeah, school is such a crazy thing. Hey, it's like a really big topic, but that's just my experience of school. And the Hold On To Your Kids, honestly, read that book. It's also an audiobook. It was really profound for me, and such a big affirmation for so much that I already felt. And I think if we do really foster our relationships more with our kids and hold on to them, it would change so much in the world. Like, we'd have so much more secure people who are feeling so grounded in who they are, and that's only a good thing. So that's me for now, signing off. Thanks for listening. I'd love to hear your thoughts on everything I've shared, and if anything resonated, let me know on Instagram, and see you next time. Thank you so much for tuning in to today's episode. I hope you enjoyed it as much as I did. For more, you can find me on Instagram at Here to Be Human Podcast. If this space is resonating for you, please like, subscribe, and share, so that this podcast can reach more.